Hey, Trustizdar, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Glad to have you here, KYAH in Utah. By the providence of God, that's the truth. Glad you're listening today. AM stations from one side of the nation to the other. Satellite around the world, internet around the world. Listen, if you can't get us live, you can always go to the archives. iTunes, Amazon, Audible, Spotify, all those things. We're just kind of putting it everywhere. Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, welcome today. So it is another day God has created, God's given to us. It's a privilege to live. And so today we have a tremendous opportunity before us. That is the prayers. No greater location, the throne of God, the throne of grace. No, obviously it's all about the person. So the locality of God, the infinite one, the Savior at the right hand of majesty. And so we're told to come boldly before this throne, and so we do. May God Almighty, you stretch out your hands to save and to heal, to grant sign and wonder, extraordinary miracle. And I pray this for the most broken and most victimized out there, that a immediate work of your healing and your restoration and your deliverance would occur in their lives right now. God, we pray together for 10 million fierce. We pray together for revivals worldwide beyond anything ever seen in 2,000 years. God, stretch out your hands. May your indestructible, indefeatable, astounding kingdom, gates of Hades cannot prevail. May you extend it everywhere. Bless the soldiers today and the officers today and all the rest in between. Want to say bless the pastors and leaders and those that have been doing so many great things, missionaries everywhere. You've got it tough sometimes on the field of human history. All that goes on, you know, all that goes on with it. So, well, listen, the news is this today. We are on page 66. And we have two pages today we want to try to get done. And we're focusing on the portion of this, they cannot prevail. Now, again, the idea of the gates of Hades. You know, when an officer is out on patrol, and I've been out years and years out with them, years ago, actually. But you look for things. You look for things. You're trained to look at things. You're observing. You're watching. You're seeing, you know, if there's danger here or danger there. And so you got to do that. That's just part of what you do as an officer. And on the field of, I've never been a soldier. Is it a privilege? It is an extreme, I think, an incredible thing. Thank you for your service. And so, but you think in terms of the next bomb, the next bullet, the next sniper, the blood and the heat and all the rest. And the tension. And so you think in terms of all those things that are going on in a lot of ways, and you don't want to, you know, you don't know what's around the corner sometimes. So there's assessment. There's a need for assessment. There's a need for threat assessment across the board also. So the intel agencies and all the militaries of the world, that's what they do. That's what they all have to do. I don't care what military it is. The greatest superpowers, obviously. Everybody's checking everybody out. Everybody's got spies. Everybody's got satellites. And everybody's, you know, the cyber warfare. That's the big one. We talked about that years ago. That's the coming war. And so today, as we're thinking in terms of the president of the United States engaging and meeting with the president of Russia. And the tough talk and all the rest, what's going to happen there? What's going to happen there? And so the nations are going to rise against nations. There's going to be saber rattling, Jesus said. There's no question. The unprecedented deception, yeah, that's all around. The earthquakes and the environmental problems, yes. And then the days of sorrow. It's not the, what we're seeing is not the end. It's the beginning of the end. pestilence, terrorism, and the strange things in the skies. You can check it out, Luke 21, and I'm going to tell you again, and this is very important for us to understand this, as I'm going to tell you today, that there is the force of the dark side agenda, and there's an importance of understanding that. Now, if you've got, and let me just say this also, we are working on all the materials here. We are about 95% of all our websites, everything up. The new stuff, the new ones, the recovered MP3s, it's all being worked on, and I'm assured by the techs and everyone that we're going to have it all there very shortly. There's hundreds of other MP3s there teaching, you know, all that is out there, downloaded by the millions worldwide, and so we want to make sure we have all that content and accelerating things. And man, I got, there's so many things also in the works, let alone being on the field. I cannot, listen, this is a place I need to be with you every single day. I know that. You got to understand the sense of the being in the place of God and just knowing that. But that's a portion. And then there's boots on the ground. I've got to do that. And so the team members we've had over the years and just the extraordinary individuals, but there's times, and I was talking with a great friend of mine, Dr. Martin Boyd, and he is a, he used to carry a large cross into the crowds and preach the gospel. You know, he's a theologian, he's a soul winner, a husband, a father, and now I got to talk to my great friend. We've been out soul winning years ago. He and I used to go into a biker bar, the Outlaws in Canton, Ohio, called the Mexicana back then. And he and I'd go out witnessing, and then we'd come back about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, sit in the car, sometimes in January, very cold, and we would just talk theology and Bible for another hour, and finally say, "We gotta go. I'm cold." And we've had some of the greatest in-depth discussions, and I think he's one of the great theologians, really. And I'm going to be asking him. I hope he's listening today. I'm going to be asking him to join. I want him into a, whether I do it Blog Talk or whether we do it on the live screen, the Shatter Live TV. I want this theologian to, we're going to engage theology, biblical theology, in the third millennium, the final one. You can take a look at that in all the, you know, eschatology, ecclesiology, bibliology, soteriology, those kind of things. But go into some depth and have questions and answers to give you a in-depth theology, biblical, by the Spirit of God and to the glory of God. I hope to bring that. You pray about that. You're keeping all of us in prayer, right? And also the 10 million viewers. And as soon as we have the interactive map and the clicker that allows you to register, I'll tell you that. It doesn't. We're just simply waiting, and that's going to happen very shortly. I also want to tell you about this Saturday. If you're not doing anything this Saturday, I will be on as a guest with the Watchman Radio. That's this coming Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thenextcrusade.com. It's on the preempter. I'll leave it up there on the preempter. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll put it on Gab. I'm on both of those. We're on restrictions with Facebook. Crazy people, crazy ideology, crazy, you know, freedom of speech. Well, I'm not sure. I guess for the Ayatollahs and many others it is, but I'm not sure about the rest of us sometimes. How you doing today? And I just pray the Spirit of God will remind you. There's someone that loves you so much and knows the numbers of hairs on your head. So, Jesus, would you heal them? Would you help them? Would you encourage them? And for the backslidden and the lazy, may you convict them and draw them to honor, Holy Spirit, to draw them to honor the Savior. Now, we're dealing with the gates of Hades, the gates of hell. Now, I did a series dealing with satanic ritual abuse because, again, there's now more books written about it than ever in the last 10 years. And yet it goes all the way back to the 1930s. It goes back to the scripture 2,000 years ago. in the development of the Antichrist and the troops that he's going to need, the Red Horse Prophecy, and those who are going to do the chaos slaughtering on a worldwide scale. Now, that's all there in Scripture, and I want to say this, and it's sad, but I've said it before, many millions of believers have never heard a sermon on any of this. So again, a lot of it is just, some of it comes from the depth. Listen, a pastor, a leader, myself included, I can only give you what I have. All that God has given, all that God has embedded in me, I can pour out that. And here's what I do know. If I'm going to pour that out, the Father, this is John 15, he'll sharpen me to even do more. So use everything. Live up to what you've already attained. Philippians 3. You ever read Philippians 3 about this? And then he'll give you, you know, there'll be more insight. And you'll grow more. And so use what you got so you'll gain and God will increase. And there's so much. Listen, it is a joy in going deep in the Word and in the Spirit and the power of God. Only brings the deepest, joyful, conscious relationship with your Savior. And that's what it's all about, too. Now, that involves, then, the world that we're living in, that none should perish. That involves the world that we're living in. It's kind of crazy out there, right? That which many people have hated, they've now become the haters. And so in racism, if you hate it terribly, but if you become one, you become the hate you hate. And that's what we're seeing in the world. And that's part of the devil. That's part of the satanic plot and plan. That's part of sin. And so read Titus chapter 3, being hated and hating one another. There's an answer. Clear, powerful answer. It's right there. In Titus chapter 3, take a read today. To the military intel folks everywhere, I wonder if you have any ability to dig in and penetrate the gates of hell, the gates of Hades. Can you get in there? Can you send a probe in? Can you spy? Can you send drones in? Can you satellite it? Think in terms of billions of the fallen ones that are operative in a collective that want to shake up the world. They want to throw the world into this hatred and fighting, and they want to affect the environment, and they want to affect the nations, and they target the political ideology, the military quests. They want to throw it all out there to leave the world scrambled. That's what that dark side is all about. There's no evolution to godhood. Not for the ufologists, not for the Gnostics, not for the Hindus, not for the New Agers, not for the traditional Satanists and non-traditional Satanists. What's Ha-Satanus said in Genesis 3 never occurred. He's a finite, fallen, corrupted being that can't even evolve himself. He doesn't have the power. The power of immortality is infinite, indestructible, defined and unveiled by God, only comes from God, the immortal one. And God doesn't have to grow. There's no one to help him. There's nothing beyond him. You understand? That's the good thing. That's a good thing, because the knowing of God is infinite, immeasurable. It is to us finites, it is at times incomprehensible. Yet, as the great theologian Francis Schaeffer used to say, that we can know God absolutely truly, but not exhaustively. You're not infinite. And so those that are pursuing the counterfeit gods and goddesses in the sense of small g, there's all kinds of promises. And the way they approach you with all the masquerade, it's all going to continue to happen. The greatest deception in human history is upon the globe right now, setting the stage for the eventual release of the Antichrist, which could be around the corner here. I don't think it's more than 10 years away. I don't believe it's 20 years away. I think it's in our lifetime, in a sense. Now, that also means the coming of Jesus is closer than anyone has, you know, the joy of that. And that's reality. So how then shall we live, as we read in, you know, we can read this in Ezekiel. How do we live then? In the midst of the world that we're living in, pining away, well, in the cities, in the shootings, in the racism, race baiting, new race, again, that which many people have hated, now they become it. They become the hate they hate. And that's the sad thing right now, because that's the trap of sin. That's the trap of sin. That's the trap of Satan. There's a liberator, obviously, Jesus, that breaks into us and breaks into the darkness. And not only forgives us, but breaks the power of the sin and the sin nature. And infuses us with a new nature, God, his presence into us. Born of the Spirit of God, lit up by God, and there's grace there in the world. And so that's where it all begins. That's where it all changes. In Jesus, anybody that's really in Christ, born again, moving that direction, the Spirit of God is going to come and just lead you to wipe out racism, wipe out all the hatred, wipe out all the excuses, wipe out all of the race baiting and the rest of it, and get down to the real thing. Jesus the Liberator. Died for the sum total of humanity. Red, yellow, black, white, brown, olive. You got to understand, the ground zero of the value of humanity is at the foot of the cross, where God in human flesh gave his sinless life for all of us. We have all sinned. We all have the need to bow the knee. You don't want to do that? Then what do you have? Page 66 on the notes today, the gates of hell. Actually, we should be saying the gates of Hades. Overwhelmingly, I think that's the phrase that should be used. Let me say a few things about Hades, okay? Here's a few other scriptures concerning Hades, Revelation 6:8. Then I looked and saw a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades followed. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown to the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now I've told you, and I'll scream out, and I'll say it emotionally, and I'll say it to anybody, I don't want to see anybody there. If you want to go look at Revelation 20 and take a look at what the second death is, you don't want to be there. And Jesus, again, and that salvation, that so great a salvation, liberates you from that. Luke's Gospel 16:23, in Hades, this is about the selfish rich man, godless rich man. So a godless, selfish, rich individual, okay, dies. Luke 16, in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham from afar. A great chasm between the two. Lazarus on the other side, embraced and protected and guarded. Acts 2:27, in reference to the resurrection of Jesus, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And that's right out of biblical prophecy. Again, the declaration of the resurrection, Psalm 16, 1,000 years in advance, let alone Jesus. You go read John 10. Then there's Revelation 1:18, referring to Jesus, the living one. I was dead, and behold, now I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. That's why you can say the words about authority we're going to read here in a few moments. All authority is his. Now, Matthew 11:23, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to Hades. Pretty powerful as we read scripture after scripture. Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of Sheol. I'll redeem them from the death. And there's the power of Hades. Let me take a look at it anyway. Psalm 49:14, like sheep they are destined for Sheol, death will be their shepherd. And again, they'll sleep in Hades. Psalm 88:3, my soul is filled with troubles and my eyes has drawn nigh to Hades. For my soul is filled with evils. My life is drawn nigh to hell. Job, what does he say to the destroyers? His soul also draws nigh to death, and his life is in Hades. That's what he feels. So let me tell you something about Hades, though you might not have heard a sermon on it lately. And, you know, though the timid out there don't want to talk about it, the reality is it involves the locality of the Dark Side Collective. You can look at the historical side. You can look at the Caesarea Philippi. You can look at the locality in the physical sense. You can read about the backdrop concerning Hades, the demon god, and so forth. And but see, you know, we defined it yesterday in the biblical unveiling. There's a lot of things known, but as the Spirit of God then comes to define what this is, and so Hades is the locality for the sum total of that dark side. Now, that also includes the idea of the gates. Tremendous, and we put it in the picture on the little billboard that we put out. So it's right there on your notes, page 66, the bottom right-hand corner. There's a up to the top left-hand corner, there's a artist rendition of the gates of hell. But there's an actual place, the gates of Hades. And the idea, and one wonders whether who'd want to walk down in there. And it reminds me of the Gate of the Gods in Peru. And if that was a real gateway, was it a... And again, we could talk about the physical side, but I'm saying that the reality is all ultimately dimensionally, just like everybody that's looking to the ufologists and the aliens and all that, you're going to see massive things and signs in the skies. Luke 21, along with pestilence, and along with terrorism. And along is then the strange signs in the skies. I've said this before in Ephesians 6. Every believer knows the warfare that the struggle, the battle, the warfare is against the principalities and powers. Now, those entities are located in the Epihuranos, the heavenlies, right above your head. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the Eros, the dense atmosphere above your head. So you've got to understand the dimensionality globally of where they are and where they operate out of and so forth. So you've got to realize they're on the gates of hell itself, the idea of the gateway by which everything from the satanic side is pouring through, rushing through. And so Jesus contrasts the church he's going to create, the body he's going to create, the people that he's going to create, and the picture is simply a battlefield in which the gates of hell and what is coming out of them, what is exiting out of them, what is coming out of them, cannot withstand, cannot override, cannot overpower, cannot subdue, cannot prevail against the body of Christ, the church. Worldwide. Now we're talking about those born of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 12, baptized with the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So the moment you get saved and the Spirit of God comes in you and you are now regenerated and you're a new birth and you are alive to God, you have been by that Holy Spirit placed in the body. All of us in heaven and on earth, Ephesians chapter 14, look at the prayer of Paul. That's us. And ultimately, you see the new race of immortals coming. So the salvation you have right now, that is the, it's what we have right now is the taste. As much as you realize that it's the greatest thing you could possibly have in life, people ask me, why don't you do pot anymore, Russ? Why don't you do any more acid? Why don't you get drunk, Russ? Why don't you get a little buzz going on? What use do I have of that when I have the Spirit of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Why do I want to use that to bring corruption and even some of it doorways to the demons? God doesn't have to use any of that. I have Jesus. I have the Spirit of God. And so we read in Ephesians 5 about don't be drunk with wine. Don't have other influences. Instead, be filled, pleru, all the way to the top to overflowing with the power of the Spirit of God. And the gates of hell and all that's coming out of it can't handle that. You know, here comes the believers born of the Spirit, Jesus' name, blood of the Lamb, authority to tread on all the powers of darkness. Luke 10, right? So here we are, and we're unleashed, and truly worldwide, every and this is what I would say as a pastor. This is very important for all pastors and leaders, especially right now. I'm saying that everybody that gets saved needs to launch into discipleship in the Word and learn how to use the Word, what it is to worship and pray and begin to love and forgive and to give and all the different things that we're growing in Christ in discipleship. We're coming under the lordship of Jesus. You know, he said, "Why call me Lord, Lord? Do not do the things I say." So we're here to do those things. And those things draw us nearer experientially to him, bring out of us the works of Jesus, the character of Christ. If you're James 1, you can read it. If you obey the word, put it into practice, you're blessed in what you do. You can read it in 1 John 2, that if you put the word of God in your heart and life and you put it into practice, not only do you become strong, you overcome the evil one. You have victory over the evil one. So I'm going to tell you it's so important, and that's all of it. I mean, that's the deficiency in defeated believers. The deficiency is lack of word, lack of application, and many times, and who should be at the forefront of knowing? I think, I want to impress this. You know, one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one mission of God, one Bible. You know, we are united in him in this. Whenever leaders and people and church denominational things and all that, whenever they go off into, you know, to turn it into their own humanitarian thing, their own, you know, a social club, as some would say. Then you know you grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, and then the church that was once alive, like Sardis, does become dead. And Jesus engages that. That's not his will. Look how he engaged Sardis. And if you can, and I can, look at Sardis and say, you know what? By the definition of Sardis and dead, this is what a local church is, or my life has become like, and he shows us immediately, well, the disgust of it, the danger of it, but how to get out of it instantly. Remember what you have received. Remember what you have heard. You know, take that, put that back into practice. There's nothing new, because that which we receive, that which is out there, that word of God that you've got in your hand, that Bible, it never fades. Nothing fades when it comes to God, when it comes to Christ. You know, you heard the sign, and it's very important to remember this. It's simple. If God experientially seems far away, guess who moved? And it wasn't him, because grieving the Spirit, Ephesians 4, quenching the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5, involves what we do as believers in the wrong way. And so we've got to, on a daily basis, you know, as we're, you know, when you declare, and I'm going to say this right now, this is very important for all of us. When you get up in the morning, the best thing to do is declare, this is the day that God has given me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to live in him in it. I'm going to pray in it. I'm going to take the advantage. I'm going to take the opportunity. I'm going to take my responsibility. It's not just about our crisis praying that we, only when something bad comes up, we need to cry out, God help me. That's a very, I'm telling you, that's the lowest strand on the strand of God's rope, in a sense, where you're hanging on. Prayer becomes part of the duty in advancing the kingdom and praying against the dark side. See, miracles and signs and wonders and God's great wonders, they're not to be done just as, it's not a circus. It's about the advance. In the book of Acts, signs and wonders and miracles not only came from God through Jesus and through the body of Christ, the church, it glorified Jesus. It helped get people saved. It helped encourage and strengthen the church. And it always helped bring defeat and triumph over the dark side. So I think it's very important when we talk about and even say the word gates of hell, gates of Hades. What's coming out is their agenda. Satanic ritual abuse worldwide right now. And I'm going to say again, the numbers that I'm going to give you, and the more people study, the more people look themselves. When I said that there were millions in the 90s, people used to balk at that and say, are you crazy? Again, folks that were uneducated, who hadn't even dealt with one victim, let alone pursued for decades, the origins, the length, breadth, and width. We're into five generations. From 5-year-olds to 73-year-olds, basically, approximately, five generations of SRA. Of those that, if you use the Hitlerian and the Himmler concept of Godman, super soldier, well, that's what the demons wanted to initiate through them and continue that to this day, because there is no question the Scripture speaks of and reveals there'll be a Antichrist army, globalist, new, you know, world order oriented, but Antichrist army of augmented, demonized, changed, hybrid, as some would even say. Remember, I said 200 million. So all that prophecy has, you know, the prophecy about the little horn in Daniel 2,600 years ago, that's going to have boots on the ground. Antichrist, the beast, the Therion. That's all going to have boots on the ground. The Antichrist really will show up. The false prophet's really going to show up. That beast system globally is really going to show up. What they're going to do is really going to happen. The opening of the abyss, it will occur. The development of the largest altered, demonized super soldier, of the ones that will serve to bring the chaos, to clear the way and to become the maintainers of and the extenders of the most powerful global system, and the world has never experienced it yet. This goes beyond the Empire of Rome. This goes beyond Russia. This goes beyond China. This goes beyond the United States. This goes beyond all of it, and it all has. And I don't know. Maybe there's some military folks that would respond to this in this sense. How do you threat assess the gates of hell and what's coming out? How do you assess Satan and billions of fallen angels and demons operative in every nation of the world, operative over the governments, operative in pushing globalist ideology, pushing the moral decadence, the iniquity that is going to be abounding, and the deception that will draw billions into it, the pestilences that will be unleashed, the violence, terrorism, signs in the skies, the earthquake, all of it. Jesus, the hero of humanity, the Savior, God in human flesh, he gave the warning. He gave the insight. And I want you to hear me as a believer. All believers, listen, please. Shouldn't we be at the cutting edge? Shouldn't we be like Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, all prophecies will have their fulfillment, all the way up to the return of Jesus, all the way up to Revelation 20, when Satan is grabbed, you know, seized by one singular angel and chained and thrown into the abyss where the demons didn't even want to go there. Incarcerated for 1,000 years, a millennial reign. Then Christ will rule for 1,000 years, an iron scepter, Prince of Peace. No war for 1,000 years in Christ. And so all of humanity, they just want to keep, you know, saying that, you know, there's humanity that will just simply laugh at that, continue to go their way, hating and being hated. Titus 3, remember Titus 3, hating and being hated, and living and fighting and all of that, and then finally, what? going to your rest, going to your peace, your body in a casket, 6 feet deep, X's in the eyes. It's appointed a man once to die. After that, a judgment. Are you saved or not saved? Do you know God or not know God? Have you turned to a Savior who died for the sum total of human existence? That's why he summons all people everywhere. That's why he summons you. That's why coming to this broadcast today is not a mistake. It's by divine pursuit. There's no one that pursues you better. No one knows you. No one loves you. No one wants you more than God. And no one pursues you. And this radio broadcast is part of that pursuit. And you need to come to Jesus. And you need to bow your knee in repentance. And you need to turn to him right now and say, Jesus, come into my life. I accept you. I accept the gift of eternal life. Come into my life and I accept the Spirit of God. It's called going from death to life. Out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Now, all that's important because what I'm saying here today is clearly this, that the gates of Hades is a reality. I mean, there's a physical reality there, you know, in Philippi. There's a place, but I'm talking about the biblical revelation of what's in there. I was on years ago, we were doing a series together, Steve Quayle and I was doing a series on the abyss. And my major point was the problem isn't the abyss, it's what's going to come out of the abyss. The abyss is a containment. The abusos is a containment. Revelation 9, why is it there? All ufologists need to study that. All those that want, they want disclosure, they want that other side to come, they want the breakthrough, they want the gates to open. Well, they're going to open. But what you think you want, what you've been guided by, those seducing spirits that have guided you, you're not going to want what's really on the other side of that door. So all the ufologists, somebody somewhere, wake up Daniken, wake up Ancient Aliens History Channel, Revelation 9, that's the ultimate disclosure. And then what do you have? And if you read Revelation 9, do the study. I'm not going to do all it for you. You do it. Revelation 9, God, you know what God does before that gateway opens? He limits what those entities can do, and they can't touch the people of God who have the mark of God on them. Isn't that something? Otherwise, they would. It would seem that God limits what they can touch, what they can't touch, and otherwise, it would seem that what comes out of there would destroy everything. So for all of those in the world of wanting disclosure, for all of those that are using New Age and occultic and ancient, you know, occultic methods to try to make portals open and get these doorways to open, well, they're going to open. They're really going to open. There's really, you know, they're summoning humanity. Come open the door. They're asking for the great doorway to be opened. Well, Revelation 9 is going to open. That is also kind of a depiction of what comes out. The problem isn't the abyss. Revelation 9, study it. It's what comes out of it. So the problem is, in a sense, the gates of hell is a gateway. The gates of Hades is the kind of like the doorway in which the dark side is coming through into the world, operative because of legalities, Genesis 3. Humanity, sin, gave over. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, this entity, is called the god of this eon, this age, who blinds the minds, tufluo. Blows smoke, fogs up the minds of people that don't know Jesus. Number one reason, look at that verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He doesn't want them to see who Jesus really is. Tell the Mormons that. Tell the Amish that. Tell the Jehovah's Witnesses that. All those that deny the deity of Jesus, God in human flesh. Hey, Islam, are you listening? You need to understand that's exactly... Satan doesn't care if you believe in a false Jesus, a de-deified fake rabbit's foot do-nothing guru alien Jesus. He don't care about that. That's not the real Jesus. The real Jesus, out of Isaiah, a wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, unto us, a child. Think in terms of this Emmanuel, God of human flesh, 700 years before he came. Thomas finally understood, bowed down, said, "My Lord and my God," capital G. The devils, the demons, they all knew that. And those that come to Jesus, you know that. If you're a believer, you know that. Anywhere in the world, I don't care what background, Russians, whoever, wherever you are in the world right now, you know if you've believed on the Lord Jesus and you're born of the Spirit of God, Romans 8, you clearly know who he is and confess. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is God Almighty in human flesh, the fullness of deity in bodily form. Every Old Testament name of God now in Christ, the fullness of deity in bodily form. I am that I am. Remember the words? And he's the Savior, so loving the world. So you sit back at times and you see people destroy lives. I watch at times, and I guess I look back at my own stupidities. I remember that I almost died in 1975 on an occult-oriented, drug-related trip. I was just looking over the manuscript. I have a copy here. I can't use it yet. I got a copy of the book Once Blind. It tells the story, my story. And that's 47 years ago. What's come out of the gates of hell almost got me. The deception, the seducing spirits, the lying demons, Satan himself almost got me. How about you? Are you born of the Spirit of God? Are you in Christ or lost in your sin? And then, you know what Scripture says? That's the Scripture. You can argue with me. The Scripture says that you are owned by Satan. You say, "Well, I'm spiritual. I got spirituality. What's the source of it? If it's them, that only makes you twice the son of hell. Three times, four times, five times, right? For the deep occultists and all those. You know, the Luciferians, they understand this principle, what comes out of the gates of hell. Because that's what they're doing, rituals to bring more out. That's what worldwide dark blood rituals, that's what's going to happen in July, that's what's going to happen in August, demon revels, satanic revels, all the SRAs, all those victims of this over the last 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. They all know these things. They've been through them again and again and again. So right there at the gates, one of the most secretive parts of the agenda involves the building of the terrors. Jesus goes out, he sows the word of God, and people receive Jesus, the wheat. During the night, an evil one comes. You got to get that in your. That's reality, not the half-baked reality of the world that we're living in. All that mixture, because in the world that we're living in, it's not what it was in the beginning. There's been a great fall, a great tragedy, a great corruption of humanity. The sin that opened the door to death, that opened the door to the rights of Satan. Well, the wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God. The gift. I say to the cop today, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God's power in Jesus is to break you free from depression, to break you free from the bottles. Time to throw it away. It's time to dump it, throw it away, burn the drugs, turn to the living Christ, receive the power of Jesus, the power of God. And not only rejoice in the peace and the love and the grace and the mercy that God gives you, but to want to give your life back and to serve the Lord, a willingness. You can read it in Philippians, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus seized you. Every single believer, you've been seized. You've been grabbed hold of by Jesus to have everything he is, everything he gives, everything he offers, and to be called, John chapter 15, he himself said it, you're chosen to bear fruit. You're in him. In him. 11 times in him, in Christ. The first chapter of Ephesians. Been studying your Bible, lady? In the Word of God, is it living in you? Then you're growing in power. You're growing in knowledge. You're growing in grace. You're growing in the ability to do the works of Jesus. You're going to be powerful. You're designed for it. That's why we're to be clothed with power from on high. That's why 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given you everything. That's why Ephesians 3, in the context of prayer, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within you. And so every single day counts. So today is the day the Lord has given. Today, I'm going to embrace the Lord. I'm going to be before this throne. I'm going to lay out all. Listen, I'm going to be here as the servant that's going to pray for what God wants, that none should perish. What God wants, the advance of the kingdom. What God wants, prayers for the saints everywhere. Revival. God wants revivals. God wants all those giftings to be received and used well by mature believers. Did you know that? So in all of this, I mean, day by day, you go down to Walmart, you go down to Kmart, you go down to Arby's, you drive down the road, you get your gas, you drive your car, you change your tires, you come home, the baby, you know, needs fed, change the diapers, clean the house, the dog wants out, cut the grass, it's summertime, it's 85 and humid yesterday, now it's 70, seems like it's beautiful today here. This is the day. And this day, in the world that you live in, with all of the G7, with all of the political engagement and all the corruption and all of the lies and all the incapabilities that we see, man can't solve this. Ultimately, man, you know, and nations, let me say this to the leaders, the national leaders, the leaders of nations that bow their knee to God and lead their nations in that direction will do well. You lead them the other way. You spit in the face of God, Mr. Biden. You spit in the face of God, Mrs. Harris and Pelosi. You kill babies by the thousands through abortion. You pump gender perversity. You pump drugs. And the hand of God is opposed to you. What's coming out of the gates of hell? The greatest levels of sexual perversity and addictions, the greatest level of the mutation of humanity, the greatest level of wickedness. You understand the increase, the massive exponential increase of wickedness. You realize, you know, one area is nobody wants to talk about this, but the funeral directors know this. One of the big growing areas of sexuality is necrophilia. Beyond that, on a public level, sex with demons and entities. Yeah, all the astral projectors will tell you that. And there's millions of them doing it all around the world now. Sleep paralysis, the demons are coming to engage. Why? They want to get into your life. They want to tantalize. They want to use you. They want to offer perversions. They want to change humanity, mutate humanity, forge them into the will of Satan and demons and serve that side. We read in the pastoral epistles about individuals being taken captive to do Satan's will. You want out of it? Jesus of Nazareth holds the keys of death and Hades, holds the gift of eternal life. That's who. So he comes to the gates of hell, obviously. And I want you to hear this today. It's very important what we read. This is page 66 on the notes. If you don't know where the notes are, you go to shatterthedarkness.net. That's the main website. Or TheRaggedEdgeRadio.com. Right at the top, you're going to see where it says PDF live notes. Click on that. So we have been doing this for over 35 separate hours. They're all in the archives, too. And when I'm all done with this, I'll put it in a notebook. I'll leave the free download of PDF. You can get that free. But if you want the workbook that goes, I'll make a workbook out of this. I want those in the future to be able to go over this because I don't know. You tell me, has there been any, I mean, there's, I thank God there's more people dealing with the, listen, have you listened? 150 million and growing satanic ritually abused people worldwide, anywhere from new births to those in their 70s. From the first generation all the way down to the newest one, the fifth. And it's all part of the satanic agenda. And so look at page 66. I'll talk more about this in a moment. But page 66.2, the existence, real and revealed. So that's, you know, that's the important thing. As you see hundreds of millions worldwide that are fascinated by the aliens, and they're seeing lights in the sky and objects in the sky and things in the sky, Jesus said, as we get to the very end, there would be strange signs, things. It's where the Cosmocrator Archon Exousia Porneus Numenikai, Ephesians 6. It's where those powerful fallen entities, part of the satanic collective, where they're at. It doesn't surprise me that they're showing orbs and lights and things and movement, and they're clearly dimensional. They go move this way up the, and then out, then they disappear. And they're just drawing people. They're just drawing. You know why there's more and more and more? Does anybody understand why there's more and more? Why we're getting closer to more and more of the so-called disclosure? Because in the last 30 years, more and more alienologists, ufologists, New Agers, and many others have been going to the spiritual sites around the world using ancient occult practices, everything possible they can do, guided by those masquerading spirits, to call out, to open the doors, to get that other side to open up. That's what they want. And so when Dr. Stephen Greer has five, he claims 500 in the intel agencies in the government in the United States are part of this, that they're all practitioners. Are there still spoonbenders there at the Pentagon? Are there those in the military that have bought in, just like the Germans did? The Nazis, you know, that Nazi ideology was didache daemonia. They embraced it. They opened the door to the spirits. And they had promises, and they thought they would accomplish, and they would conquer, and that they would be gods. That's why they wanted to create godmen. And look what happened to Germany. Look at the devastation. Deception always leads to that kind of destruction. Personally, family lines, tribes, nations. If your leaders open the door to the dark side, embrace doctrines of demons, and that all begins to come through, then shortly, all Hades breaks loose. America, Russia, China, Europe, to the nations of the world. The existence is real. You can go anywhere. You can go back into the biblical, and when you go back, if it's just aliens and entities and sky god, you know, beings and the Great White Brotherhood, well, I'm going to tell you right now who they really are. Ephesians 6 lists them. The scripture speaks of five species of the dark side: Cosmocrator, Archon, Exousia, Porneus Numenikai, Planos, 1 Timothy 4:1 down. They're operative. And I want you to hear me clearly. Only revealed and specified and definitively exposed by God in the Word of God. You're not going to find definitive exposure of the exact origins, nature, method, and the agenda in occult literature. You're not going to find it in Satanism. You're not going to find it in Luciferian doctrines and teachings. You know, they're not going to be the ones, not the ones that have the dark side spirits masqueraded or the blood and gut spirits like Eyes Wide Shutters out there. You embrace that side, the deeper the embrace of the demonic side, the greater and broader the deception and the inability to see. Because there's an operating, there's physics behind this. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the demon, Satan, the god of this age has blinded to fluo. Look it up. the minds of unbelievers in Jesus, those who don't know him yet, so they cannot see. The goal, he doesn't want you to see. Today, I want you to see. The Word of God wants you to see. The book of John, the Gospel of John, these things are written that you might believe, that you might. That's the whole gospel. If you're a seeker, then go to the Gospel of John. It's intended for you to unveil, to take a look at the one that loves you, the one that pursues you, the only one that can save you and bring his spirit into you and open your eyes to see not only the goodness and greatness and wonder of God in Christ in you, but have spiritual discernment to know the other side, what not to touch. In the world, you should know what not to touch. Don't touch the live wire that came down in the middle of the storm while it's raining. You don't touch the live wire out there. You don't touch the hot stove out there. And unless you just got fried fingers, sin always is like that. Satan is always, he's the live wire. You touch him, you're beyond toast, right? Well, listen, I thought I would do both pages. I'm going to do page 66. We're just going under there today. And I want you to understand the existence of that dark side. You're going to see, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see more and more people talk about the alien presence, the entities. You're going to hear more about that than ever, but I'm going to tell you right now, they are what Ephesians 6 says. They're really there, and they're part of the collective, and they're pouring out of the gates of hell because Revelation 12, do you remember that? They have an agenda to bring deception to the sum total of humanity, absolute sum total of humanity. That's their goal. That's what they want. God, that you might stretch your hands. I pray for people to be saved today. I pray for people, different ones right now that need healing. Jesus, stretch out your hands to heal them. Lord Jesus, touch them. Pray the power of the Holy Spirit go out. You pray out to Lord Jesus, Psalm 32. You ask the Lord to bring healing. He heals. He'll deliver you. God, deliver individuals. We, in the name of Jesus, rebuke every demon power. Get out, be expelled in Jesus' name. Father, in extraordinary ways, deliver people today. Absolutely. You want the greatest revivals. You want to see the greatest extension of the kingdom. You want people saved. You want to see the dark side exposed and triumphed over. You want to see all those victims brought up out of that? Jesus of Nazareth. It's Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. I'm grateful for that. I love you deeply in Christ. Good night.